Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Will and Sonny get married on Days of Our Lives. Rich tries to knock off Rick on The Bold and the Beautiful. Nikki and Jill team up on The Young and the Restless. And General Hospital celebrates its 51st anniversary. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Hey.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello.
Well, Jamie, was it as wonderful for you to see Tamara Braun back on your screen as I expected it was for you?
It was everything. It was everything, but all it did is make me think about how long it has been since Sonny was in an epic romantic pairing. You know, I love me some Lisa Lo Cicero, and I, you know, love Sonny and Olivia as a potential couple, but ever since they've gotten together, they've kind of just been Ma and Pa school marm who meet up to go, the grandbabies are kidnapped, the grandbabies are in custody battles, the grandbabies, oh, the grandbabies.
It's like they're old and married, but not, never
Sonny
had
don't
a
even
or
see,
something.
Sonny don't even seem to care. He's just like, okay, whatever.
They don't even, you know, they have, you know, he hasn't, any other time, Sonny would have married her 10 times over by now. Olivia should really be mad. She should be like, why am I the only one who doesn't get a ring on it? Well, Alexis never got it.
I was going to say, she's going to be singing Beyonce.
Yeah,
here
Alexis never got a ring on it either, but, you know, Alexis got billable hours.
Alexis is pretty much like a hit it and quit it, pretty much.
Yeah, but Alexis said, I don't need a ring because I charge $150 an hour, billable hours, so she
did bill Julian, that's for sure.
Look, she probably billed him after he orgasmed. Okay, that will be time and a half. I have to clean this mess up. No, but yeah,
Jillian?
I was happy to see that whole situation.
I'm
was just
crying, Carly, as my sister would call her.
Anyway, she that's all right. Well, she made up in not crying. She rolled her neck,
and she had her wings out.
You gonna stop talking about her and her wings because
it was like.
Let the record show that tired pole you put up thinking you were going to shave my girl on your own site. My own site. Our own site. You put the pole up. What did DC... Wait a minute. What did DC readers say? Who did they say? Who did they vote for? Daytime Confidential readers. Who won by a landslide? I'm talking CNN.
It doesn't surprise me that it was
Tamara Braun won the Daytime Confidential poll for who is your favorite
second?
Car.
Sarah.
That's all right.
You put
Sarah.
The poll up, Mr. Kerr, and my girl beat your girl.
Who's his girl?
I don't know who his girl is. Who is your Jillian? Girl? Probably Law Wright. You know how brand new he is.
Sarah Braun.
Yeah. Don't come on the Sarah Trey. We don't need you. We good.
I love Sarah Braun.
We good. We don't.
Her Carly versus Robin.
We love that.
We
good. We don't need you on our team.
Look, I've always said if I'm judging acting, Sarah was the best. No doubt about it.
Actually,
Laura is the second best in terms of acting chops. Tamara, for me, y'all know, my favorite heroine in soaps is Hope Brady. So I'm not all about, you know. I mean, obviously, and I love my girl, but for soap operas, I don't need you to be, you know, Stockard Channing. I just need you to toss good hair, cock a good eye, and do really good lovemaking to a love scene.
And Tamara Braun does that. I'll give you that.
When it comes to what really sells in soap opera, the beautiful lovemaking scene, Tamara is number one. Look, when Laura tried to make love to Sonny, she threw Maurice up against the wall, punched him in the head. Put him in a headlock. But my Tamara, you know, had that effervescent, you know, oh, the way they used to be. Oh, just reliving it was incredible.
I thought it was a little interesting that both the past Carlys were brunettes and the current Carly's a blonde.
Well, I don't know. Sonny really need to get on some better lithium because I figured they would all have the same clothes on. You know, why did they all have a different outfit?
on in a significant moment that they had with Sonny. That would have been kind
of cool. I would have thought it would have been better. Well, you know, of course, it was great. I love that part. But I did wonder why they just didn't all have on the same outfit Laura Wright had on. I'm like, Sonny having some colorful bipolar fits.
What, Adam?
Forget the color purple. Jillian, what did you think?
I love that you know Sarah Brown is the originator, the innovator, the always imitated, never duplicated Carly.
That was spotted before.
No, there wasn't nobody before Sarah.
That was somebody before Slazak, too.
What does Slazak have to do with Sarah Brown as Carly? Bye, Ashy.
Bye, Ashy.
We talk about Carly. We ain't talking about Erica Slazak. I mean, if I had said that about Vicky, you would have got me, but no. Sarah, it was so good to see her. It made me go, damn. I mean, look, Laura Wright is doing a fantastic job, but Sarah Brown has always been my Carly. You know, I tend to gloss over her as Claudia Zakara. I glossed over that period. I'm just like, never happened, because I just thought that was dumb. But oh my god, it was so good to see her. Look at those scenes. You know, you talk about acting chops. I was like, that girl murdered them scenes. And I'm sorry.
Oh, and the flashbacks.
Yes.
The flashbacks.
She and Sonny had raunchy sex scenes too. It was like their sex scenes, it borderline almost too close, you know, too much for daytime television in my book, because they would just be angry sex, but it would be hot. Just now, it was so good.
It was
good.
Christina Aguilera dirty.
I'm good, Luke. I'm good. But
give him a cookie for that one. But
yeah, but it was good. It was really good. It was really good when the scenes, the heartbreaking scenes, when she was like, Sonny, I want to see my baby. I have a right to see my baby.
See, I'd have told that doctor, bring it out in
here. Okay, then Sonny should have done the same thing with your girl, with Tamra Braun. Now, I ain't going front. Tamra Braun wasn't my favorite, Carly, because, you know, my sister and I would joke. She, you know, my sister took it to the left. You know, you probably try to fight her, Jamie, because she was like, she reminds me of that woman that played Felicia trying to cry, mushing her face up. I'd be like, ooh, no. I'm like,
Jillian, it's funny because I'm so far removed from that, but that is why I'm on this podcast today, because that is why all roads lead back to Tamra Braun. When I was a lowly editorial assistant for Pulitzer, I would be so bored all day. My boss would be like, can you work on my calendar? I'd be like, can't you do that yourself? I one day magically discovered the SoapNet message board, and I logged on and started talking about my love for all things Tamra Braun, and those women went after me with the vengeance of 1,000 suns about all the things Luke has been saying. They call her chicken neck, and you know, just went in. And so I went left and was like, you all are just some frappadores mad because your husbands don't want to fool with y'all no more. I mean, it was ugly. I was like, y'all just jealous of her. You know, I was that fan. Like, that's why I can't. Luke will be like, what should we do about this situation in the comments? I'm like, child, I used to be worse than these folks were. I used to be on there talking noise about my Tamra Braun. I was ready to fight. And one day this poster was like, hey, J2, that was my nickname on there, there's this site needing a blogger. And I was like, what is that?
And that's that site is where you and I met.
That's how. So if it wasn't for
Ebony and Ivory,
my camera, I wouldn't be on Daytime Confidential.
Child, my sister thought she was like, she compared her to Felicia, homie. I was like, ooh, damn. I'm like, you are rough. But I'm not going to lie, Tamra had some good acting chops. Like when Sonny, when you mentioned about showing babies, I'm like, bitch, Sonny should have showed Tamra Braun's Carla that baby, big-headed Michael, when she thought he died. When she was like, I thought it was so, I have the right to see my child. I was like, oh, she sounded like she bringing it home, honey. She did it up. She should have just had.
I wish they would have shown my two favorite clips. When Tamara Scarlett ran into Brenda for the first time at the police station. And Brenda, that was like the clash of my divas because I love them both so much. And Carly was like, "What are you doing?" And Brenda was like, "Get out of my way, you idiot." And then my next favorite one is Tamara's Carly telling Sam that she was a Brenda bot. And she rolled her neck like Aquanisha from Brooklyn. I mean, she was like, "Has Sonny mentioned Brenda yet?" She pursed her lips. Sam was looking shook, too. Like, "I know what you're talking about. Yeah, bitch, you know. You finna know." Oh, yes. I love it. You know, and this is one of those roles, I have to say, that, you know, forgiving a Jennifer Bransford, it's been a well-cast role every time. I mean, I love Laura. I love Laura Wright. She is my Carly now. I do, you know, hate.
She doesn't have the same chemistry.
That I no longer want Sonny and Carly because they just don't have sexual chemistry. They have great exes chemistry, but I miss Jax. I'm going to be honest. With Laura, I feel like Jax was her Mac Corey. Go on and do your drinking game because I feel like that was her Jax.
We need to get a liquor sponsor. That's what we need to do.
Jax was her Matt Corey. He's the one who said, "Look at here, baby girl. Stop being so trashy. I'm going to teach you how to be a lady. I'm going to get you a hotel. I'm going to take you up out of the gutter and make you a better woman." And I really wish Jax would come back home and be like, "I'm not going to let you see Jocelyn until you dump Franco." And then Franco would finally be heroic and say, "I'm not going to come between you and your kid," and shoot Carly the deuces. And then Franco would be gone. That's what I wish.
Want Roger Howard to leave?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. It's never.
It took a year.
It's never going to work. It's just never. Taylor Swift. It is never, ever, ever going to work. Franco is never, ever, ever. It's not going to ever work, especially now, because okay, after all of the wonkity-woo of the crashing catacombs, okay, I could have bought it for another couple of months, but then you plunge Carly into being sanctimonious, and how could you do this, Sonny, with AJ, and I can't buy her being that way anymore. You can't be blowing a serial killer every night and then giving Sonny grief about killing both of your mortal enemy. I mean, separate from the whole AJ Quartermain thing, which I know we'll get into in a second, but Carly cannot be Sonny's voice of reason anymore. You are blowing a serial killer. You can never judge anyone else ever. This man put a bomb under your niece or baby cousin. What is Lulu?
Cousin.
No, you.
He was responsible for your son's rape.
Well, that was redone or whatever, but still, you. You can never, no matter what, he's a serial killer. We do know that. It's still an established fact. Carly can never judge Sonny ever again. And so when she was doing. She
can't judge Robin when she was getting up in Robin's face. I'm like, bitch, you are with a serial killer. You shut your face.
That has become an albatross around Carly's neck. The character can't survive this coupling. I hate to go there. It just can't, though. He has to leave Carly alone. He can, like, I would have no problem with Franco turning back into a pseudo villain and being able to screw women like Ava, who is larcenous and evil and rotten to the core. But he can't be, the serial killer can't be with the heroine. He just can't.
And that says something about Carly, that she's the heroine.
Well, and that's
just cut out.
It's normal for soaps. Every time the bitch gets popular, they turn her into a heroine, which I don't really like. I mean, look at,
Though Carly does still do some scheming. Yeah, she does more than Sammy does on
Kendall,
dating.
You know, it always happens. Kendall comes to town and, true. Makes her mama take a letter opener to Dimitri's neck. Next thing you know, every storyline revolves around Kendall and her flowing curly hair. And, it just happens that way. Sammy, we finally got Sammy back to scheming and bitchy in the last year. But how many years?
And then Allison Sweetie decides to leave.
Right. But how many years did we suffer through heroin Carly? Heroin Sammy. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the other portion of the 51st anniversary, which was AJ's death. It made me upset.
Oh, Lord.
Another Quartermain died. Jamie was talking about how he got into DC. For me, the two soap families that hooked me on soaps as an adult, once I came back to them, was the Chandlers and the Quartermains. And part of DC's early years was trying to promote their survival, the Quartermains, that is. And so watching the episode, it was the way it was handled. It was well written. If that had been for any other character in soap operas, it would have been a fantastic exit for a popular soap character. But for me as a Quartermain fan, it was like, this wasn't necessary. This is something that the role could have been recast. He could have been written off. But yet another Quartermain dies and he walks into the light and the light says, happy anniversary. And so for me, it was very bittersweet. It was like, what is this? I mean, you kill off a Quartermain and then tell me happy anniversary. It's like, what are you doing? Giving me the middle finger. I mean, it was for me as a Quartermain fan, it because of how great everything was with the Carlys, because of how well written the funeral was, for it to be a Quartermain and then to end it with happy anniversary in as AJ walks into the light, as we've just seen Lila, Edward, Alan, Emily. I mean, the only people we were missing, I mean, that we could have got a justice in there.
Justice, they don't look, must not be no black folks in heaven, because justice don't ever get to come back.
But there's plenty of dead Quartermain.
In Hades.
I know. I'm like, AJ's going to heaven, but Justice black ass is in hell. I'm like, okay, Ron, I see you. I see you.
That's the parking tickets when he left here.
When they went and had the thing about unwrapping packages at Valentine's, and they had all the hunks on the show except for Sean.
Give me a break.
Yeah, now I'm not going.
I'm not going to go there.
And they have this show rose. The first thing they did is get Foxy Brown to be the mayor, and now they got Foxy Brown Jr. as
which will be interesting. So what did you guys think? I mean, obviously I feel passionate about the Quartermain.
Are you gonna let us say? I mean, you still sound a little passionate about the Quartermains there.
Jillian.
I mean, you know, here's my thing. You make it seem, and before you let me say my piece, you make it seem like this regime mowed down the Quartermains. Had it been the previous regime still running things, i.e. my boy Bob Guza, because y'all know I love Guza. If it was Bob Guza and he killed AJ off, well, he did, but you know what I'm saying. I would have been like, I got you.
Like, what y'all talking about? I did that 5 years ago.
You know, if you would say, if this was Bob Guza, I would 100% be like, Luke, you are so right. You know, F that damn 51st anniversary. They mowed off the Quartermains. But, you know, when I saw your post, when I saw your post, I was like, ooh, I'm like, you know, for a quick second, I'm like, Rhonda killed off all these Quartermains? And I'm like, oh.
I never said Rhonda killed off
the Quartermains. You did say that. That's what I'm saying.
No, but so just clarify.
Let me finish. I said, when I looked at the post, I was like, ooh, Rhonda killed off all them Quartermains? I'm saying when I first saw that, but then I'm like, okay, Luke is just talking about how all the Quartermains are gone. This is supposed to be a joyous occasion. This is their 51st anniversary. And they mowed off, they shot another Quartermain in the chest. So, I mean,
and they told us the family was growing.
Well,
that was what got me the most. It's like, this is the growing Quartermains when we have factual proof that the Quartermains are not growing.
We don't know that, sir, because we don't know what they have planned later on down the line. They may have said that to, you know, to maybe they said that line so, I don't know, fanatics like you could dial it back. Maybe they are bringing some Quartermains back. But, I mean, you know, it
and
is
in the grand scheme of things, and, you know, I'll jump in here because we're all fans of the Quartermains.
Yeah.
I've been watching the show 20 years. Jillian's been watching the show 30 years. We're all fans of the Quartermains.
I am full. See, this is when you try to
you know you old enough to be watching this show 30 years. Anyway, you be talking about stuff that happened 30 years
ago. Listen, you never discuss a woman's age.
Damn. punk ass.
Anyway, well, I've been watching 21 years, and I love the Q's. I love the Q's. Just like I love the Hortons, just like I love the Abbotts. And I did a quick rundown from of most of the shows. And save for Days of Our Lives, this is par for the course. I mean, if you look at the history of every soap on the air, by the time, well, the ones that went off, by the time they left the air, there wasn't too many Bowers left, and I'm not saying yay or nay, but the Bowers were the core family, and at the end of the show, there were a handful, and most of them had to be brought back. You look at Y&R, ain't nary a Foster left in that town, cause Jill is a Finmo, so it ain't not a nan member of the core family of that town left. Kate Chancellor got a black grandbaby left, so I guess she, her line continues through that. Bill Bell brought on four, actually. When the Brooks and the Fosters, all those actors left after they went from 30 minutes to an hour, Bill Bell was left with, do I recast a bunch of roles or do I just create new characters? If that happened in soaps today, there would be anarchy. He brought on the Williams to replace the Fosters. He brought on the Abbotts to replace the Brooks. He brought on Victor Newman. You know, Nikki had already been there, formed a family with her. You know, he brought on
Casey, Nikki, Rapey Daddy.
And I'm not saying, but what I am saying though, because I love the Quartermains, and I'm not defending because I don't think AJ had to die either.
That was kind of shocking.
Like, you know, but that's a thing. That's, you know, we part of what we do here is Monday Morning Quarterback. And no, if I was writing the show, I wouldn't have killed another Quartermain. I wouldn't have. I don't see, send him back off to rehab, send him off in a permadrill. I don't see the long-term viability of killing off AJ. I agree with that. But
yeah.
I wonder, though, do we have to give up the ghost sometimes with these families? Because if the show is good, does it really matter? At the end of the day, because the Quartermains were not a core family. There was no such thing as a core family on General Hospital. The show was a workplace soap. If you look it up, even if you look up in the history books, it's considered the first workplace soap. Steve Hardy wasn't he single at the beginning, Jillian? And then there was then Jesse Brewer, and then Steve.
He's really, not only is he putting you over 30, he's putting you at 50 something.
The Hardy Webbers became the core family. Now, if you want to really screech, cry, caterwaul, and moo moo, that's the fans of that dynasty should really be pissed off because it ain't but one of them left. Elizabeth, and even though she procreates quite often, she can't her children can't represent the whole, Hardy Webber family, but they do. I mean, and that is technically the show's core family. This is a family that was brought on to great acclaim and great popularity by Gloria Monty and Doug Marlin. And then when Gloria Monty came back, the first thing she tried to do was get rid of them to replace them with the Eckerts, her damn self. And, that didn't work. They got rid of Gloria. Claire Labine came along. The Wendy Riche, Claire Labine era really reestablished the Q's. And then when that era went away, you got Guza, who decided he wanted to do Sopranos. And with that, one by one, the Q's got killed, destroyed, dismantled. The blood of the Quartermains is not at Frank and Ron's feet. It is at Bob Guza, Jill Farren Phelps, and Brian Fron's feet. Now, in terms of, I'm just going to go here because I haven't said anything about this because so many times people will be bringing this up. Stuart Damon is not well. Okay, I'm just going to say that, allegedly. He's not well. So all these people who have been screaming for him to return for years, well, I'm sure if he would have been well enough, Ron brought back half the world. I'm sure if the actor would have been well enough.
I'm waiting for him to bring back Jake next.
Might have been.
Casey the Alien is in his.
That might have been something. But Stuart Damon is not. Some of these people are 70 some odd years old. Two of the Quartermains are dead by Jesus. Jesus took two of them in real life. And then, yes, AJ is gone again. again, I don't think that had to happen. But no. To me, this is not the regime to. I mean, they brought him back and then decided it didn't work and killed him again. It's not like they.
Yeah. And I never said
it was not their agenda to get rid of him.
Never said you said that.
No. But what my point is, so what? Why should it be there? They didn't kill all these people off. Why do they as creatives who have gotten the ratings much higher, who have brought back a slew of other veterans from that era, Lucy, Bobby. You know, we didn't even get to see Bobby at all during all of Carly's trials and tribulations. Bobby never was there. You know, Monica has aired more under Cartini than she ever did under Guza. You know, all these other characters from that era have been brought back. No other soap is really doing that. You know, you look at the Forresters and the Bold and the Beautiful. They keep that name going, but none of the sisters are back. Thorne is in France. You know, there's a new Ridge. I mean, it's not like any of these other shows are, you know, Days of Our Lives, and I saw that with the Wilson wedding, is doing the best in terms of
really good.
The Hortons, the Brady's. Those families are still – Damaris. Days does it best in terms of bringing the families from the entire 50-year span into the forefront. I'd say GH actually does next to the best, because Y&R, we have those names. They're there. It's the Abbott family. We're the Abbotts. But it's really Abby showing up to pester them. I mean, there aren't a lot of Abbott family scenes I'm just saying, yes, they do need to do better with the Quartermains. They do need to bring back Dylan. They need to bring back Brooklyn. I've always wanted Sam on that estate. I think it would be great if Sam lived at the Qest, because that would just be, I love, when I think of my favorite era of soaps, I always love a bunch of Motley Crue people living in a mansion together.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I would love it if Sam and Baby Wet My Pants lived on the estate and Michael moved, Danny. You know, when Michael finds out that, you know, Don Corleone popped
Fredo.
You know, I'd love for Michael to be like, I'm changing my name to Quartermain and move into the mansion. And, you know, I'd love for them to bring Dylan back.
I'd love for them to bring the Black Quartermains on, you know, I mean.
If they cast them well. Yeah. I'm so tired of these. It's like they have a catalog, you know, milquetoast negresses.
Do I even want to know?
Oh, touch a face.
Can they just find a sister? I know doggone well that Renee Jones, Victoria Shaw, Amelia Marshall, what was the one played Jilly on Guiding Light? All them floss sisters that we got in the 90s, Neil Long. I'm so tired of these milquetoast black women that they find. They think because they have an afro that they got some sass, but they don't. That last Maya Ward,
she had an afro.
No, I'd rather watch Buttermilk than watch those girls, you know? Yeah.
You know what it is? Well, it's because they have curly hair. They're doing that, you know. She's black, and she can also pass white because she has curly hair. That's what they're doing.
But they don't have any flavor. It's like a big old bowl of just nothing with no salt, no pepper, no seasoning, no cayenne pepper.
Well, someone who has all kinds of seasoning is Dr. O. Jamie, I saw on Twitter you mentioning something about the fact that it might be too much.
I'm tired of Dr. Obrecht. I'm tired of her. I can't deal with her. If she was just another villainess, fine, but she can't run the hospital and be taking folks hostage and stuff.
She is like...
No more.
She's Helena with a medical degree, in my opinion. You know, we got...
With a stethoscope.
She's Justine Duvalier Kirkland from Another World is who she is.
Here you go. Slipping in. Yes. Slip that damn Another World in. I mean...
A hook, and she gonna kill Dante on the train tracks. It's like, enough!
Yeah, I mean... To me, I don't see how you can redeem Dr. O, and I cannot see how you can have her sitting up in the hospital being chief of staff. I thought that was, I just thought that was outrageous when Ron had her as chief of staff, and I was like, you know.
It doesn't make sense.
No, because I'm like, they're board members. We know Nicholas's money saved the hospital, so Nicholas can tell the board members, y'all better vote with me.
Jax, they all used to be on the board. It's
But Nicholas saved the hospital. The Castodon saved the hospital. So in effect,
WSB superseded the board of directors to make. And I'm just like,
what?
No.
Yeah,
it didn't make sense.
Because to me, I felt Nicholas could have been like, you know, the board members were like, well, you know, we're fine. Nicholas could have been like, okay, then y'all mofos, y'all pony up your money because I'm taking my money out of this bitch.
She's great as one of the Legion of Doom. She's great as a Jerry Jax, Faison, Heather Weber, Sweeps is coming, so we need somebody to show up and hold little Emma's coming out cotillion hostage. Fine. Love her for that. But she can't run the hospital that is central to the show acting like that and carry it on and cutting up. She just can't.
I'm kind of disappointed that they never had a scene with Epiphany. You know, I was waiting, and I didn't know that the lady who plays Dr. O followed me on Twitter. I was like, look, I'm waiting for Epiphany and Dr. O to go head up. And she goes, Mother is waiting or something like that. She's like, bring it. Mother is waiting. I'm like,
that's
oh,
hilarious.
Shit.
She is great at what she does, but it's just like, you know,
it's
your Louise Sorrell or your Constance Towers. In small doses, that type of villainy is hilarious. But she can't run the hospital. I mean,
no,
Silas and
Monica,
Patrick. Monica can be a board member. Monica is 70. I don't want Monica fixing my hanging.
No, I mean, I'm not saying Monica needs to be like central or something like that, but at least make her or something. I mean, Dr. O, that was just a bit much. That's when I was just like, you know, I'm like, do y'all hear that music? And people are like, on Twitter were like, what? I'm like, I hear the Jaws music. I'm like, come on, Ron. Don't do it.
Monica to be on the board, the chairman of the board of directors. That'll keep her.
Nicholas, yeah, for Nicholas to like, yeah.
But let's, you know, let those younger doctors, look at all the mileage Grey's Anatomy got out of their fight for the chief of surgery position a few years ago. And, you know, GH, I thought they were going that route because Britt being chief of staff would have been hilarious. You know, that would have been more Heather Locklear to me because I know, you know.
Oh, and she's fantastic.
She's younger, she's, you know, bitchy, everybody hates her. But with Obrecht, it just makes it like Anna needs to just go out to the docks and throw her badge and jump in with it and sing, I'm Flipper, Flipper, faster than lightning. Because why does she have a badge and a gun? So that she can walk around and look fabulous? Because she does. I'm going to put a stop to you, Obrecht. Obrecht should just bust out laughing. No, you're not, Anna. No, you're not. Go wear your fabulous mod clothes because I'm just going. No, Motor is going to continue to wreak havoc and kidnap babies and steal the sperm and the eggs and make baby salad. It's like, no.
Well, speaking of fabulous people, Jillian, what did you think of Madeline this last week being caught by Sam and Silas?
Oh, my God. My girl, Donna Mills, was everything. She was good. I mean, I saw little pockets here and there. It was like a flash of Detective Pretty. That's what I call him, Detective Pretty, you know, doing well. But, you know, it was good. I mean, I had a feeling that it was her. I mean, we all had a feeling that it was her. It was like, it wasn't no big,
what a
you know.
Feeling.
Yeah, we all knew it was her, but like, you know, this baby situation, I'm like, damn, Gina, you wanted to off, you did all that so she didn't have baby? I'm like, and you know, and then I thought, I'm like, please don't be Nathan. I'm like, no, it can't be Nathan. I'm like, please don't be Brynn. They're like, no, it's probably Kiki's age. I'm like, well, this is GH. I'm like, look, I'm going to keep it 100. This is Ron and Frank. So I'm like, we didn't expect Roger Howard to come on back as Franco, and his happy ass is. So I'm just wondering. And, you know, today's episode, they had Dr. Oho checking in that jail. That was funny. You know, Madeline was all crying, and Dr. O was like, shut up. I hate the sniveling or something like that. I was like, thank you. She all of it. Oh, she's like, shut up. I hate this insistent sniveling. And she's like, how dare you talk to me? And then she forgot them tears and was like, Lisa, Madeline, it's been, I'm like, oh, Lord.
That's one thing. And, you know, I always say this. And okay, I'll be called an apologist. I don't care. I'm not. If the show is too over the top for me right now, I will gladly admit that. But
that's either.
I will say this, though, and this is,
yeah, it is,
this
missing
is still
romance.
A common thing for me. I'm entertained every time I watch. It doesn't make me angry or, you know, I do watch with my eyes covering, you know, I have to, like, open my eyes to watch a little bit. But that's how I watched with Riley, too. So, I mean, it does, you do have those grown moments, and they're kind of increasing, but I will say I'm entertained the entire hour. There's not a moment when I'm like, oh God, do we have to hear person A give backstory about person
I am B? Like that when Luke and Lauren come on. I don't find it funny. Yeah, because you like that shit. I don't like it. You know, you said that it's history. If he's Bill Eckert, I still don't see it, because Bill Eckert, my thing is, if this was Julian and, let's say this was Bill Eckert. If this was Julian and Bill Eckert going after Luke and Sonny, I would get that, because the person that Bill Eckert has more beef with is Luke, because he got killed because Frank Smith thought his ass was Luke. He has no beef with Sonny. This still doesn't make any sense.
I'll tell you what. I hope it's Luke Spencer. I hope it's the real Luke. I haven't enjoyed Luke this much in years. Luke is finally a character with gravitas again. When Wendy Reach was there, and Claire Levine was there, I loved Luke, which is so hilarious because, you know, recently Tony Geary gave an interview with Michael Owen. He crapped all over that era, which always makes me think actors are their own worst enemies. What he considered domesticated was so rich, such good drama. Yeah, it was domesticated, but it was
but
a
Luke
great
still had a gun. Luke still had a gun.
There was conflict because he didn't want to be domesticated. He was a wild tiger that Laura tried to take home from the zoo and put on her doily. And that would made for great conflict. You know, that was amazing story. After Guza turned Luke into a buffoon who left town for 4 months out of the year. You know, and then that kind of continued with Frank and Ron. You know, Luke has become a character of himself over the years.
Yeah.
And I always give him something meaty to do once a year to get an Emmy, you know, run over a kid or whatever. But for the rest of the year, it was boo 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 ragtime girl.
I kind of. No, sorry, go ahead.
So when he is like giving his motivation for taking over the mob and running drugs through Port Charles and wanting to use ELQ, I thought about Dallas. I mean, that's what they're doing on Dallas with the cartel trying to run, you know, use Ewing Oil or Ewing Global, whatever it's called now, Ewing Phantasmanon, as, you know, a front for a drug business. Luke is more interesting than any of the other mobsters to me right now. I'm like, Julian is not a mobster. Julian is an Abercrombie model who still comes back to the Christmas parties every year and shows his abs, even though they won't let him model anymore because he's still hotter than all the young guys. That's what Julian is. Come on. Julian doesn't scare me. If I was in an alleyway and
you should be scared of Ava, not Julian.
You know, yeah. I mean, yeah, now Ava is lethal. Ava is lethal, but Julian.
I throw a garbage can at Ava and haul ass. Julian. I would just give him some dollars. I'd just be like,
Julian, you rope in with your Wonder Woman.
Or I'd give him some singles and be like, where them dollars at? Where them dollars at? I'll tell him to drop it or pop it or something. Come on now.
The heat on General Hospital mob-wise would be Luke versus Ava.
Yeah, that's why I kind of wish this was that Luke was working with Sonny, you know, or something like that. I get what you're saying, because Luke has been a jackass for these past couple of years. I would have liked for Luke to just go back in with Sonny instead of this foolishness, but I digress.
Well, let's talk about Bold and the Beautiful. Sean Kanan, Deacon, is going to be mixing it up with Quinn. Jillian, what are your thoughts?
I'm like, boy, somebody head boy's going to have a big-ass hole in it, and somebody's floor is going to go through. It's going to cave through, child, because those two, that's going to be freaking sneaky. My thing is, we all know that Quinn wants Bill. Who does Deacon want? Are they going back there again with Deacon and Brooke? Like, we're Deacon wanting Brooke? That's why I'm like, So this is going
to
be interesting.
That would be hot if the two of them teamed up to try to come between.
Yeah.
Bill made his intentions known to La Logan that he is tired of waiting. And, you know,
this episode was fucking fantastic. Sorry, y'all, I cussed. Woohoo! It was so, that's how good it was. Today's episode, did y'all see it?
Yeah, I saw it. I'm so sick of Katie.
No. I thought today's episode, when, you know, if they didn't have that scene with Brooke calling Katie, I would have felt that Brooke loves Bill. But you've been hemming and hawing wanting your bitch from the valley back. She is back, baby, because not only did she get into Katie's head, she got into Ridge's head, too. She knew that her sister just finished. She's probably in bed with Ridge, and she got into her
Katie, you know how people who can really dance don't need to count the rhythm in their head, you know, but then you have those little Pop-Tarts that they teach how to pop and lock, and they're doing the rhythm in their head, and 5, 6, 7, 8. That's Katie trying to screw Ridge. What comes natural to Brooke, you know, just taking him to the river so he could be baptized. Katie is counting in her head. 1, 2, reverse cowgirl. 1, 2. Now, On my side, one, two, on my back, one, two.
Because she has some good goodies for Riz to turn down. See the whole ship?
She is counting in her head. Look.
If she is that good, I was like, damn, Rich, she must be doing something. I'm like, I had to admit, I'm like, she must have learned from her big sister for Rich.
This ain't nothing new. Ridge has always suffered from what? Madonna whore complex. He wants the slut from the valley, but his mama is in his head telling him, get a good girl.
She's floating around like, Darla, she dead.
Get a good girl. Mama wants you to get a good girl so she can watch. And that's still in that boy's head. He came back for Brooke Logan Forster. He caught them frequent fly miles home for Brooke Logan Forster. As soon as he found out that she had given the Venus flytrap to another.
Giving her stank cat trap to Bill. He was like, I'm gone.
I'm going to go over here to your little sister with a heart scar all up and down her chest.
Shut up.
Goody goody marble pants. I'm gonna go over here. Ridge is every frat boy I ever knew growing up in the South. They threw Savannah Jean on Saturday night, but they take Becky Sue to church on Sunday.
Shut up. It ain't even like
that. Well, and meanwhile, he's trying to get his hands back on Forrester because he's trying to get rid of Rick.
Now, that I don't really get. I like the drama of all of it, but
that boy I'm seeing was a badass.
It was great drama, but
I just wonder how often John McCook gets tired of saying the same lines about it being a difficult decision.
You want to check him out of them lines?
I don't know how. This is my thing. I'm going to have to bring up my show again, but they spoiled me on another world. We knew specifically that he left his controlling interest in Corey Publishing equally to Rachel, Iris, and Amanda. That through line continued through every corporate takeover thereafter. Vicky held enough shares from her granddaddy to come in and mess up Rachel's happy day. Another one that spoiled me was Bill Bell himself. Bill Bell himself spoiled me with Jabot and Newman Enterprises and those corporate takeover stories that were so realistic. We knew that Jill Abbott got 20% of John's shares in the divorce. We knew that Jack convinced convinced his daddy to do an IPO, take the company public, which allowed Victor to gain control. We knew that, and they kept it so tight. How can if Ridge wants the company back, why doesn't he call up his daughter and son?
No,
with the three of them, they control 50% of the company.
I think I said that to someone on Twitter, and a lot of people said, because I'm like, you know, if he wants to take control, he can, but a lot of people said that Eric has majority, but I'm like,
Eric doesn't have majority.
No, he doesn't, because he gave Donna 11% or something like, or
in the divorce, Donna got half of his 25%, which Bill promptly bought. So yes, there's that, you know, and then Stephanie left him her shares, but then what happened was how Eric got control of the company is they did this whole thing where Stephanie's father, when he set up the bylaws for the company, when he loaned them the money to start it, there was a codicil in there that said Stephanie would be the one to determine who the CEO was after her, which is complete and utter bullshit. A company that has those...
They did that with Kay over at JYNR, so...
I like corporate stories. Bill Bell's corporate stories followed real corporate America. If Rupert Murdoch slips on a banana peel tomorrow, he can't leave the board of directors of a publicly held company instructions over who gets to be the CEO. And even if Forrester is still privately held,
I think it is still private. Yeah,
it is still private. There's those shareholders would not have to be beholden to what that old man set up.
Depends on the type of stock. If they have, that depends on the type of stock.
Break it
have.
Down, Poindexter.
Because if they have the, I don't even remember the name at the top of my head at the moment, but there's two types of stock. There's common stock and other stock. Preferred
they've
stock.
They've already been there, done that, because Brooke took over Brooke got 51% of the company in a lot, basically because of belief. Then they lost the company completely to Bill. Well, first they lost it completely. Didn't they lose it at one point to Jack? What was Jack Wagner's name on that show? Nick Maroney.
Yeah.
Then lost it to Bill. So how do Father Douglas's bylaws even matter as many times as that company has?
Okay. My thing, forget all of that. My thing, I was really hoping they were going to use that Trump card, and nobody did. And I'm like, Ridge can still possibly use it, I guess, at a later date. I'm like, if Ridge wanted to take over control of that company, they could have had Ridge say, you know what, under your tenure, yes, hope for the future, this target line is doing well. But however, we have a potential scandal on our hands, which is Oliver. I keep saying Oliver. Wyatt pocketing that diamond, that could cost us serious, not only bad publicity, but that could cost our company to go
belly. Well, what would be hot, piggybacking on you, is if, and that's, watching Dallas is just spoiling me, because the Ewings love each other, but they are so ruthless. Like, it almost makes watching these daytime corporate battles, like, look like child's play. If Ridge wanted to do a hood move, his girl, instead of sitting in there, you know, lapping up Katie like a cat to catnip, he should be saying, you know, if you really want to help me gain control of the company, I just heard this little juicy tidbit about a fake diamond heist at Forrester. He could threaten, instead of doing that for Eric's benefit, he could march in there and say, Dad, you have two choices. Fire Rick, give me my job back, or I'm going to have Katie run with this and tank the company. I mean, that would be a hood move. You know?
Yeah, I thought Alex...
And they need more hood.
I thought...
But they're from Beverly Hills. They don't have hood in them.
Shoot. Yeah, they do. You ain't never seen Scruples, the miniseries, or read the book. That'd be... Hollywood Wives. You need to read Hollywood Wives by Jackie Collins if you want to see some Beverly Hills people doing hood moves.
This is the one thing that I was hoping that they were going to do. This one thing I, you know, was a little pissed off with. I wanted, you know, Allie to use that maneuver, you know, for Ridge to get the company back and, you know, just squash that joint, because it was just annoying. But no, this is what really annoyed me. You know, they kept mentioning that Ridge is not a Forester, that he's a Maroni. I was like, Scorch, boop, boop, Hope is not a Forester. I wanted Ridge to say, well, Brooke, since you want to go there, since you want to go low, we could go low. Hope is not a Forester, and you've let this non-Forester turn Forester Creations into her little boyfriend playground. She has Oliver, who was her ex-boyfriend, working here. You know why she's his ex, right, Brooke? And then for her to be like, and you have Wyatt working here with his mother. One minute he's not working here because to appease Liam, her other boyfriend, the next minute he is working here to appease Wyatt. For him to use all that and to get his company, to get control, or to create serious
drama. But the thing
drama.
Of it is, even though Hope is not a Forester, Hope has been there while Ridge was off licking his wounds because Deacon texted Brooke on their honeymoon. Hope was there building an integral brand that is, you know, according to the show's canon, has made them so much money while Ridge was off flowers never
fragile. Well, they also mentioned that Ridge was doing well at international, so...
I mean,
well, let's talk.
But you know, international Forester International is the step up from the basement. Anytime you want to be out of sight, out of mind. Oh, they're at international. I bet Thomas is making moves at international too. Moves like Jagger.
Oh, two people who are making moves like Jagger. Now that I'm going to attempt another transition.
Oh God.
Are Will and Sonny on their honeymoon? What did you guys think of their wedding, Jamie?
I cried. I did. I was so moved by that. Just by the
grandma. Whole... Grandma McKay or Brady.
I don't know who your grandmama McKay is. But oh, no, God. Yeah, no. No, starting with Victor. Victor made me cry. You know, for me, it has to be a G. You know, your grandmas was smaltzy about the two gay fishermen who used to go grease each other's, bait each other's hooks. But, no. I didn't know they were really baiting each other's hooks, if you know what I mean, waka waka. But, no, Victor, when that Koch Brother board member showed up, you got two queens getting married here today. And Victor said, I sure do. And I got my P-flag banner on, and you better get up out of here. And you know Aunt Maggie gave Victor some good dust that night. She was so proud of him. She was like, I forgive you for helping Marlena.
For eternity and beyond.
Escape with the priest and Kristen. You know, Aunt Maggie must have screwed him like she was still drinking that night. With Victor, he told that man, I don't need you. I'm divesting my shares in Chick-fil-A. And you can get to stepping. I loved it. I was like, oh, Victor, you're going to make me cry. You're a friend of the most. And then, you know, the wedding was just incredible. Every beat of it, you know.
It was great, but I kept thinking, I wish Chandler Massey was here.
He's gone. Get over.
I know.
I didn't think that one second, and I was a huge Chandler fan. A year ago, before Chandler started phoning it in, Chandler phoned it in his whole last season. He smiled through dramatic scenes. He was like, I'm going to college. I mean, I ain't mad at him, because I've had jobs like that. Look, sometimes I smile through this podcast. But no, I mean, sometimes you phone it in. But that boy phoned it in his last year. Guy Wilson made me believe that he loves him some Sonny, that he cannot wait to get that Greek Trojan. Let
can't
it
wait to take horse. Home with Let me that. Tonight. Mm-hmm.
He said he is not be wearing Greek's buried gifts. He is ready to be his Iolas to his Hercules or whatever that little man was. Oh, but God. I loved it. I loved all the family moments. And that's when, like I said, I had this realization. Days is the only soap that's doing well by us, by our core old school families. I mean, when you think about it, Sonny is now married to Will. Maggie is Will's former aunt by marriage. You know, now she's the matriarch of the Kyriakasis, but she'll always be a Horton. Victor was once married to Kate, Will's grandmother. Well, not really married since Vivian messed all that up, but, you know, he still considers her his play wife. You know.
Come on.
Yeah, all of these relationships came into play. Kate walking in, being you know, she respects Maggie, but, you know, she's very familiar. Kate is like, I'm over here to see if, you know, Kate is basically letting it not be known, you know, I used to be the mistress of this here manor. And Maggie is like, girl, yeah, but I'm the queen of this house right now. And, you know, and then you got Grandma, who started it all. You know, Victor used to lust after Grandma, and she got up there after she remembered who the boys were and told her beautiful story.
No.
Sammy and Adrian. Oh, my God. Judy Evans has always been great at those female rivalries. I remember her with...
Here we go.
Out of the world.
Yeah. And
still great with female rivalries, you know, when they get up there and, you know, they're arguing over who's doing, that was one of my favorite parts when, you know, Sammy was all, you know, we're going to send you to this beautiful night at the Horton Cabin or wherever she sent him, somewhere in town. And Adrian was like, even when y'all get ready for a real honeymoon, Justin and I will send you wherever you want to go. And then Sammy was like, well, when you get back and are ready to start buying your first home, EJ and I have got that covered. And then Adrian was like, are you trying to imply that Justin and I don't have enough money? And then they just start bickering. I'm like, if that is not every black wedding I've ever been to, all I needed them to do is do the
election. Really? That goes down at black weddings?
Okay, I'm not going to embarrass my family. I will say, one
well,
of my
you
aunts.
Just added them, so
one of my aunts ho-checked her sister for sticking her fingers in the little appetizer tray, you know, without the little utensils. She said, there's a fork there for that. And she told the other sister, you so sedentary, you think you're so much, you better than everybody else. Yeah, that's the kind of weddings I'm used to.
I've never been to any weddings where they're like,
you and Luke went to private school. Y'all bougie. I'm from the country.
I am as opposite of bougie as you can possibly get.
Very country, too. Luke is country too because
I'm country too.
He says roof and run so. But I've never been to a wedding where they, you know, do people like that. That's so uncouth.
Yeah, I tell you, see, I need to quit shaming my people because this ain't my people. But
well, I will say this, baby. Over the years, you have made me want to like come visit you during a family function, either a funeral or a wedding, one of the two.
You know, my main family members would be fine. If I took you to a family reunion, one of my third cousins would say, who is that white boy with Jamie? Unfortunately.
Oh my God.
I love my people, but we's country. But no, Jillian, this will make you laugh. So my friend Tanisha like had one of the best voices in the town. So people were always wanting her to sing at their wedding. So this one girl, I'm not going to name her, but she said she wanted her to come by because she had a video of the song that she wanted Tanisha to sing at the wedding. So Tanisha was like, come over to the house with me because they were kind of ghetto. And I was like, girl, okay. So we went over there. So she was like, I'm going to cue up the video, you know, so you can get the song and, you know, you'll have time to learn it. How come it was an old-ass VHS of Thelma's Wedding on Good Times with Michael singing, you and I, you and I, you and I? Tanisha had to pinch me because I was like, Tanisha, what is this bullshit?
Oh, my God, no.
Jump us in here! Because it was, you know, her cousins was all over there. I said,
what is wrong with you? Why did you do that? You are so inappropriate.
They want you to sing the song from Good Times.
So what kind of ghetto madness am I stepped into?
Well, speaking of ghetto madness, what do you guys think of Nikki and Jill teaming up on The Young and the Restless?
We got to bring up Alicia Lee and then go back.
Oh, yes, that's right. We got to do that. Kung Fu Barbie is coming to Salem, Jillian.
Ooh, damn, Luke. See, y'all keep saying that we're shady and bitchy and mean. It is Luke. So there you have it. And I'm not even going to front. When I found out about it, of course, on Twitter, it was from, you know, shout out to Source Ryan from Source, TV Source. He was like, Alicia Lee, I ain't mad at that. I'm like, where is she coming? Where do you see that at? when is she coming back? Because I was about to get on.
Listen, tornado siren.
I got this. I was about to get on Twitter and round up the posse and have them cuss Ron out. Yes, I was going to have you cussed out, Ron Calavati. And he was like, she coming to days. I said, oh. I said, you know, ceasefire, people, ceasefire, wrong one. I'm like, days. But then I'm like, you know what? Maybe she will fit in on days.
She'll work on days the same way that Jen Lilly works on days.
She sucked ass on days.
On day, Jen Lilly is one of the best things.
I know. Oh, that's what I'm saying. She sucked on GH, and she's doing amazing on days.
She didn't suck on GH. She was acting on GH.
She sucked on GH.
But I don't think Alicia Lee sucked on GH. I liked Courtney. I didn't love her like Brian Franz did, and went her on.
Courtney, shut your face up.
Good stories. You know, I like the whole she's a stripper. And then Jason has to save her because evil AJ is like trying to stalk her. I thought that was cute. And I liked it when that woman left her all that money. And I loved her nasty affair with Nicholas. I mean, only time I really didn't like Courtney on GH was when her dumb ass jumped in that water and killed her. Why you do that, Courtney? Why you have to do that, Courtney? You didn't have to. You know that baby didn't have on. You didn't have on no floaties in your uterus for that baby. And you just jumped your ass in that water and killed that baby. First of all, I'm a dumb ass.
She was an idiot. But you know who will be happy to see this on TV? Daniel's going to be happy.
Oh, I got read that day on the Soap Opera Network message board. Because I kept going, why her baby die? All she did was jump in some water. People were like, she was freezing water, Jamie. And she had a, I'm like, well, hell, I didn't know water could kill no baby. I was like, why the baby die?
That was the winter time, full like, summer. It wasn't summer.
I thought that she did a belly flop real hard or something. But
it was winter time. If this was the summer, I'd be there with you. I'd be like, what the fuck did she do? But this was winter time. A dumbass jumping over there.
Carly? She was such an idiot.
Yes, I don't like her.
Courtney was such an idiot.
I mean, and it did not do any favors. Brian Franz did not do her any favors having her on 5 days a damn week.
And you have to remember, that was back when it was Sunny, Carly, Jason.
But they always dominated those demos. They did.
I don't care if they dominated Dominoes. I don't want that. She will be
dominated the soap demos like no other for a minute.
And who was at GH during those demos? Who likes focus groups? Jill Fairfield. So shut up. Anyways,
before she got too out of control. I actually have fond memories of that era because that was before Georgia getting gutted on the steps like a pig. Where she had them kill that little girl and had her folks find her on them steps. Why they have to do Georgia like that? They didn't have to kill Georgia like that. You know?
Speaking of Jill Phelps, let's talk about the Young and the Restless.
She killed Georgia. Georgia didn't ever do nothing to nobody.
She killed Delia.
Well, Delia asked. No, I'm going to tell y'all why. No, when Billy told Jack this week that he dreamed of that baby, his heiress daughter, growing up and working with him at his On the Border franchise one day, I said, oh, I'm sorry, Jeff.
What a dumbass.
You didn't kill Delia. Delia ass ran out in the middle of the road and killed herself. Because if my daddy was the heir to Maybelline, maybe it's Maybelline, and he looked at me in my bassinet and said, one day you going to fry some onions with me. You going to grow up and you going to teach you how to make a blooming onion. That baby ran for the light. She saw Adam's light. She said, take me to heaven with Papa.
She pulls a Fred Sanford. She was like, I'm coming to join you, honey. I'm coming to join you, Grandpa. And ran her ass in that street.
She jumped in the opposite direction to make sure that tie hit her. Because she didn't want to grow up and cut up no onions.
Jillian, What did you think of Nikki and Jill teaming up to try and save Victoria and Billy's marriage?
Leave it alone, Nikki. Leave it alone, girl. Let them bust up. Leave it alone. Leave it alone, please. Jill, leave it alone, too, girl. I mean, I get where they're coming from. You know, our boy Antonio was just like, oh, you know, Antonio's such a shady little bastard. He's like, oh, it's so, he said, it's okay for Jill and Nikki to meddle, but Victor, I'm like, I said, Antonio, well, you know, he was being sarcastic. I'm like, when they meddle for love. I'm like, when Victor meddles, your ass ends up dead. I'm like, so that's the big discrepancy. You don't want Victor meddling because you may end up dead or hidden somewhere, or kidnapped or eating some rats. So no.
I mean, minus your heart.
Yeah, or blind, shit. So I'm like, leave it alone now, leave it alone. And Victor's like, I'm going to help you. I'm like, ah, get away from me. I'll kill myself too. But I mean, I leave it alone, ladies. Their heart's in the right place. But I'm like, see, why? This is what we see them doing now. I'm like, shouldn't Ian Ward be trying to, like, bother Nikki from jail? No, stop. No. Why isn't he trying to, like, have one of his henchmen harass Nikki? All this built up for Ray Weiss and nothing. I'm like, come on now. You know,
isn't he in that Hulu YouTube?
I hope so.
Or Hulu Chipotle.
I don't know. Shit.
Web series now.
I don't know. You know, Smitty is Mr. Chipotle. You gotta ask Smitty.
I hope CSI will give him a new show. I don't want him. I don't want to be bothered with him. I don't want to be bothered with this. The only cult storyline I want to see revisited is when Patch and Kayla took down them crazy preachers. And Patch had to lose his eye patch. And then the fans got mad and wrote Soap Opera Weekly and said, we don't want no two-eyed Patch. And
yeah,
so Patch and Patch lost his eye again. Y'all remember that cult story? Tweet me, Days fans. The Melinda Clark was in it before she went to the OC. She
Are you sure it didn't have something to do with Another World?
Shut up.
Look, don't hate me because I remember soaps before 1999. Anyway...
no, I mean,
I'm so tired of Nikki's a billionaire. Billionaires don't get mad by people. I would have my henchmen shoot that man on sight. He done just snuck up in her ranch 3 and 4 times. What a man!
That part bothered me. I'm like, who the hell running the security at this damn ranch? He just rolled up in there.
Longer off the beaten path, you know, off a security gate. You saw them images they showed. The ranch is like right on a street, you know, so
CGI.
Juicy Joe can walk right up and knock at Nick and Noob's door.
I mean, I'm not really feeling like.
Witness is gonna come knocking on Nick and Noob's door. We want to give you some tracks. It's like, what happened to the gate and the guards and having to sneak on the estate and this and that? None of that. You know, everybody just.
What happened to Sharon and Nick?
Oh, my God. I mean, I get where they're going with Sharon and Nick, you know, because I'm like, Lord, you know, one of my friends said, you know, I have a friend who comes over to watch TV with me when I'm doing this. And, you know, they're like, Lord, they got Sharon doing electrolysis so she can lose her memory. I said, electrolysis is for your hair. You fool.
I was just going to say, what?
That's what? They were like, well, this is why it all. They were like, I know you and they had that girl fighting at a volcano and she gets no sunburn. I'm like, true that. I mean, I get where they're going with Sharon. I get where they're going with Sharon. They're going to do the electroshock therapy in order for her to redeem her because, I mean, to me, I'm sorry, that's a cop-out and it's complete.
It is.
I would have, you know, we all don't like tumors being the reason why you get away with stuff. I mean, i.e. Franco.
Hello, Franco.
Yeah, I see. Did you saw that by mentioning Franco? But I would have rather that than, you know, as my friend said, electrolysis. I'm like, you're such an asshole.
Well, my thing about it is, so if she, you know, say Nick, we don't know when he's ever going to find out that she's and Phyllis went tumble like a dryer, you know, but... was to find out right now, she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember that. I don't remember Phyllis. You talk about Grace. You know, Sharon is like, Sharon is like, Where are Matt Clark and Amy? Don't we have a double date? You know, I'm going to be real. That's a cop-out to get Sharon back to good. I would have rather, you know, she have to pay for that sin and then build her way back to Nick. She needs to pay for that. Jack and Summer and everybody need to have their chance to throw stones at her in the courtyard in Chancellor Park, where everybody goes to tell secrets, pop questions. If I was Abby, Abby Newman Carlson Capricorn,
Abbott,
I'd have slapped Tyler across his face for showing me that Cracker Jack rig in that cold ass park in Wisconsin in April. You can't rent out the Colonnade room or Billy's on the border. You got to do that. I see why Jill Ferret Phelps created this set. She loves her all-purpose sets. She does. She loves it. I see that damn park more than I saw that ugly hospital set on Another World. We don't have to see that park.
Let's pause for a second, Jamie. Do you miss Glowworm?
Yes, I miss Gloria. I mean, you know, why do these guys, all these billionaires do not hang out in the park unless they are having a fundraiser.
Yes, they do. Billionaires do hang out in the park. Fall back. They hang out in parks that they own. They hang out in private parks. They don't hang out in, you know, riffraff parks.
Yeah, you don't see billionaires just roaming around where anybody can mug them, where Nikki might be out there drunk and hit you in the head like she did poor Diane Jenkins. You know, you just can't be. Where Murphy? Murphy, they just don't ruin Murphy's fishing hole so that they can all. He ought to just come up and say, "Will you people shut up?" They ought to just have a scene one day where Murphy comes up, a bucket and some lures and a fishing hat on, and just whoever's talking that day in that park, he just need to go off. Will you people shut up? I can't get a quiet moment to fish to save my life.
What I am looking forward to in YNR, though, I really wasn't, but because the actress is pretty good in the role, and the other players are good too in the role, and the supporting characters in the role are Ait, and y'all can figure out who I mean by that, and I don't give two hoots if you don't like it. I am looking forward to Devon, Hillary, and Neil. I'm looking forward
to
that.
Thank you for that segue. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because that's where I was going next.
I wasn't going to go, speaking of parks! No. no. I got you, boo. But I am looking forward to that. Because at first, when I heard that was happening, I told Jamie, I'm like, ugh, I don't like that. I'm like, they sharing hookers again, like he did with Kenya, whatever that girl's name was.
So in other words, she's become Sam Morgan.
No, swoo, you better boop me. Tyra, you better shut your face by punching.
Michelle Morgan can act.
Yeah, I was like, God, it's Tyra all over again. It's Tyra, but then I'm like, she not related to none of them, so it's cool. So it is kind of cool, and you know, Lily being upset about it, I'm like, come on, Crystal Khalil, you better bring your A game.
Exactly.
And
this is the soapiest story that family has had. All these people, sometimes I think that fans hinder black storylines because I looked at the comments and it was like, oh my God, this is so gross. This is so awful. This is so soap opera. Reba Shane, when she couldn't get her way with Joshua Bud, she slept with his brother. When that didn't do the trick, she married their daddy. Blake Lindsay on Guiding Light. See, I'm going to another Procter & Gamble soap for y'all. Blake slept with all them Spalding men folk. It's like, why can't the Negroes do it? Why can't we sleep our way through a family? Brooke Logan done slept through everybody's family. She slept through my family. She slept with me. You know? The sister.
Breaking news.
The sister.
There's a black child somewhere in her closet.
It ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and crack.
I'm liking that because it's very soapy. I mean, you know, think about it. Hillary was this bitch on wheels, hell bent for revenge against the Winters over her drunk, funky mama. And now her and Neil have become, you know, she's made peace with them, everything. Devon was all rolling his neck. I'm not going to let you do that to my sister. And she was like, bitch, I can roll a neck, so shut your face. And now he's like, oh. And now, you know, they have him semi, you know, Gads, raspy ass with some bitch named Esmeralda. That's what I have. I'm like, what's this thing?
Look, Fallon and Alexis used to sleep with the same men all the time on Dynasty. And, you know, look at John Ross and Christopher. Between them, they done slept with every girl on the New Dallas. I mean, that's par for the course with soap opera. I don't know why. You know, sometimes the fans, you know, we get mad when they only play black folks on the first and the 15th. But when you won't allow them to tell a soapy story, this is what happens. There's nothing wrong with that. Why does Neil have to be the paragon of virtue? Michael Baldwin went from peeping at Christine's pink boobly jubilees to being, you know, the star of the show. It ain't nothing wrong with Neil hitting Hillary and Devon going there too. That's so
bad. I like it. I like it. I actually like it.
The Brooks sister slept with the same men folk. Bill Bell is the king of that.
Jill slept with Jack and John. Jill slept with Jack and John. So
exactly. That's classic, 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 classic soap opera. Can I say it again? Classic. Carla Tina on World Turn slept with all them Snyders. It was she could get her hands on. She slept with him.
I kind of like it. I like it. I just hope it's done well. I really hope it's done well.
Sassy, nasty story for the black characters.
Oh, we don't need sassy. We need.
They have to stop being the paragons of virtue, the best friends of all the white people. They need some raunch in them. We haven't had that in years. James E. Reilly gave us that on Passions. People like to clown him, but them black folks on Passions were nasty. That Eve used to be a hooker and slept with Julian, and, you know, her mama came on there, her grandmama, Marla Gibbs, somebody.
No, that was her aunt. That was her aunt. That was her aunt.
Calling her a hoe and stuff, and her one daughter was a lesbian. Riley let the black folks act a fool. And, you know, Guiding Light did, too, back in the day with Jilly and Hamp and Nia Long as Kat and David. And, you know, of course, Y&R. I mean, come on, Neil and Malcolm shared alike for 20 years. You know, we don't always have to be the patron saints of chocolateness.
And on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Add us as a friend on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Get your back scratched, Neil. Get it, boy.